I'm already looking at the book that Rayford brought on in here from SDG Law. I just want this done. How smart, successful people get divorced without losing their kids, money, and minds. The author of that book will be on to talk about Divorce Month. Yay! Now, for a lot of people out there, this is important, and we already are getting texts and questions in. Anything about family law, 312-981-7200. We'll do that after this on WGN. So, Rayford, we're all in a good mood here today.
Sounds great. Glad to be here. Thank you very much, John.
Tell me a little bit about, we've met your wife
yes.
a couple times here on this program.
Yes.
Julie Gumina, who is just a delight. You are Thank as you. Well. What's your story and history of getting into family law?
So I'm an accidental divorce lawyer. I started out, it's true, I've been a lawyer almost 30 years, which is amazing to say because it makes me feel old, but I don't feel old. And
you don't look old either.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Graduate of Loyola Law School, Chicago, shout out. And been a lawyer since 94. Started doing business litigation and a lot of personal injury stuff in my past life. And in 2001, I had a personal injury client ask me if I would do her divorce case. And I told her I didn't do that type of work. I gave her a referral. She called me back after a week and said she thought that guy was mean and didn't like him and wanted to work with me because I was a nice guy and seemed that I knew what I was doing and I would tell her the straight story. So that's my first divorce. I decided to take the case and I told her, I've got to learn divorce. She said, it can't be that hard.
Would you read up a bunch of books? Because it's different than other cases. I mean, each field of law is very different than the other.
Right. And I figured I knew civil litigation. I knew how to be a trial lawyer. And I knew I've done a lot of civil work. So I thought I could learn this. And I just was up front with her. And I told her the learning would be on my dime. And I bought the books. And it was like kind of like flying a plane with the manual balanced on your knees, I guess. But I had some good colleagues help me out here and there and give me some advice and good mentors, and it worked out. And so that's when I started, was 2001, and doing divorce specifically. And despite doing all these other things, it took off kind of organically,
right?
And that's how I got into the business.
I love that. What excites you about it? Because obviously you're dealing with people that are going through one of the most stressful things in their lives. Is it the light at the end of the tunnel that you're providing people that keeps you going for your clients?
It's providing the solution, helping people, seeing people transition from one of the darkest times in their lives to a much better place, and helping unlock that solution is super rewarding in a way that I didn't find with personal injury. Or there's nothing wrong with these areas of practice.
Of course.
And you deliver great, lawyers doing this deliver great value. But personal injury, the injury's already done, and you're getting compensation for that, which is very important.
But you're still dealing with it.
Yeah, and in business litigation, it's a money transactional mm-hmm. type thing. But in family law, people are living their lives every day, and these issues are weighing heavily on them. And you know, they always say divorce is like the second most impactful thing on you than death in a family.
Right.
It's got to be true. And so helping people in a bad place go to a good place is hugely rewarding. So that's why I enjoy it so much.
Yeah, I can see that because, you know, divorce is something, when they come to you, most likely they've been thinking about this for a long time. This
sure.
has been something that has weighed on them, weighed on their relationship. Even in acrimonious divorces, there's still that emotional weight that comes with it.
Sure.
And I just love the idea that there's almost this sense of handing off some of that baggage
yep.
to someone else that can be, that can take me to the goal line.
Right. And helping provide that solution and seeing somebody go, they're looking for the next thing and how to move through, and helping people unlock that is very nice. And it's a good feeling. And to help, we enjoy the counseling part of being lawyers and counselors at law. So,
well, there's a lot of counseling, and you're not licensed psychologists, but there's a little bit of therapy that goes into this.
And we're big fans of counselors and psychologists, and we recommend divorce coaches and counselors for those reasons. There are things where those folks are far more effective and trained in those issues, but inevitably in any divorce, there's an element of counseling as a divorce lawyer. And that's, meeting somebody where they are at their level and helping them figure out the solution is great.
That's great. What sets you guys apart from other family law firms? A lot of great ones in the area, of course.
Yep.
What do you think that makes SDG stand out a bit?
I think it's, one is the attention to solving the problem for the client, not that everyone else doesn't, but mm-hmm. one of our big focuses is alternative dispute resolution, and it always has been. So we're big fans of mediation, collaborative practice, and even arbitration in some cases to resolve cases. And it's a focus on early evaluation of the case, so figuring out what the problem is that needs to be solved, number one. Number two, so gather the facts, evaluate the situation, and think about getting to the goal sooner rather than fooling around in court for 2 or 3 years and then deciding to settle on the last day before trial. Let's see if we can evaluate the case early and use a comprehensive cost-benefit analysis to show the client what are the true costs compared to the benefits they may gain, and get them to being done sooner. And that's really what the book is about, too. It's almost a manifesto for how we operate.
Well, it's interesting because I feel like, I'm not accusing any other lawyers of doing this, but if you're employed for 2 or 3 years working on a case, you're going to make more money off of someone potentially.
Yeah.
And well, for you it's to say up front, hey, let's see if we can find a quicker solution. I think there's like some legitimacy there in that you're in it for the client to end a result that makes it possible both sides walk away.
Right.
Not with a smile on their face necessarily, but at least some, you know, positive vibes.
Right, and to get some closure and move along, because these cases don't age like a fine wine. They just get worse. Yeah. and they weigh on people, and it's
like an open Coors Light is what they age like.
That's a good,
warming, yeah.
Hope they're not a sponsor.
Yeah, right. Well, let me double check. Any old generic warm beer that's sitting on the countertop for a long time. Right. That's what a divorce case ages like.
Yeah, so it's not that other lawyers aren't this way, but this is a way we've built our firm and trained our lawyers to focus on the goal as early as possible. And also, one of the hardest things for a lawyer is to say no to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like parents. It's easy to say yes.
Right.
It's easy to say yes to your kids when they want X, Y, and Z. And it's easy as a lawyer when somebody says, I don't like what my spouse is doing, and I want you to file a motion and run into court and take action. Well, it's harder to say, maybe that's not in your best interest. It's going to cost you $5,000 to do that. And is that really what you want? And the one thing we say all the time is it getting you more divorced? Are we getting you closer to the finish line by doing this? Or are we just spinning our wheels? You feel good in the short term, but really you're just going to make the law firm some money. And ultimately, you're not closer to the goal of being done in a reasonable time and with most of your rear end intact.
Right. The 847 chimed in before you even came on the show today in the 1 o'clock hour. They said, I'm a client of STG. They are great, especially the Facebook group that Rayford heads up.
Oh.
You run a Facebook group?
I do. I started a private Facebook group a couple years ago. It's the Illinois Divorce Support Network, and it's not hard to find. You can just search it on Facebook, and you just need to provide an email address. It's free to join. And it's private, so you can't just search it and look at the stuff. Mm-hmm. But people can post anonymously. We see who's posting, but they can post anonymously in the group. And we try to be careful to vet it so that people's spouses aren't in there.
Right.
We can't guarantee it, but we've done pretty well so far. I have almost 1,000 members. And folks ask questions about Illinois divorce, and we just answer the questions, sometimes on video, sometimes in a written answer. And what's cool is now it's big enough that the other members are answering questions, and it's gathering steam, which is what I was hoping for.
Right. And obviously you don't charge for it. I guess what I'm getting at is, this is out of, obviously it's good for business too, to be someone that's an expert on these things, a thought leader, but you're doing this again with the intention of helping people out through difficult times.
Yeah, right. And we provide a few different free resources or low cost resources for folks who maybe they're doing it themselves. We have a white paper on the website about alimony or maintenance in Illinois. We offer the support group on Facebook. We've got the podcast. We have all this content on YouTube. I'm on TikTok all the time answering folks' questions.
You're on Twitter. You're over 1,000 followers now, Rayford.
Thank you. You just made 1,000. Thank you.
Saw that.
Put some effort into that.
You're on TikTok too?
Yeah, it's at Rayford Palmer. Check it out.
Let's get on that already, and let's see what he's posting on the talk.
TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter at Rayford Palmer.
It sounds exhausting because you're also a lawyer.
Yes, it's a lot of work, but I enjoy it.
But at the end of the day, you're meeting people where they are.
Yeah. And that's where today's clients are. You're not meeting them in the town square is online, as you know. And this is, radio has been a unique opportunity for us. We love WGN and a chance to meet people where they are listening to the radio. And so it's been enjoyable to communicate our message of trying to find a better way to get these cases done sooner with less acrimony.
This texter also said the book is great, too. I'll read the title again. I Just Want This Done, How Smart, Successful People Get Divorced Without Losing Their Kids, Money, and Minds. Where can people buy this, Rayford?
The book's available on Amazon, Kindle, Audible, and where all ebooks are sold. So if you like Nook or you like other ebook formats like Apple Books, you can get it where all those are available. So, yeah, it's out there. And the soft cover, I think, is like $19, and the Kindle's $9 or whatever. And it's in the audiobook version. If you have that subscription on Audible, it's just a sum of your Audible points, I guess.
Right. It's a good book that if you just leave it on the coffee table, it'll make your spouse wonder what the heck's going on. You guys gave me one first, and I put it on the bookshelf, and Enrique's like, wait, what's this now? I was like, it's just there. You know, it's another book that we get. So there we go.
Exactly.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
We got to hit a commercial break. STGlawfirm.com. The phone number is 312-248-6680. 312-248-6680. That's how you reach Rayford and STG Law. Our phone number is 312-917-2200. You can text in your questions. We're getting a few of those now. You can call in with your questions, 312-917-2200. And after the break, Rayford will tell us whether January truly is divorce month or not. Got Rayford Palmer here from STG Law, handling all sorts of divorce things. We're getting some questions, Rayford. I want to get to the 815 who you mentioned mediation, the texter says, and a couple other things. Are these speedier processes? Explain the difference between that and what we see as divorce on TV.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So mediation and collaborative practice are forms of what we call alternative dispute resolution, or ADR. And I describe them in one of the chapters in my book. I talk about the pros and cons between court mediation and collaborative. And in some ways, you could say my book is a love letter to collaborative practice and ADR to some extent. But litigation is traditional court process, and we have a judge. There's no jury in Illinois. We just have a judge sitting there to make a decision about the case, the facts, and the law. And people know, you know, that they kind of know in their heart that it's unpleasant, can be. And in Cook County, a case can take anywhere from 2.5 to 4+ years to resolve if you go all the way through trial. So extraordinarily long.
Because there's pretrial motions. There's X, Y, and Z. There's just a lot of things that happen.
And yes, and discovery, you know, gathering facts, gathering the information takes time. And the courts are very busy in Cook County. So those judges have large dockets. So it's harder to get to every case in a timely manner. So the judges are doing the best they can, but they are very busy with cases. So that's just the weather conditions, if you will, in Cook County. And in DuPage and the collar counties, it's somewhat faster. We usually tell people to expect a year to a year and a half to get all the way done. The Supreme Court in the state of Illinois has made an effort to create rules to speed up decisions on parenting or custody and get cases done, but those rules can only do so much to get against the gravity of all these people needing to be served. So, okay, court, more expensive, more time consuming. You know, you're talking about a year and a half plus wherever you are if you go all the way through trial. Your mileage may vary if you settle the case sooner. Obviously, you work out an agreement, it can be done much more quickly. But talking about mediation, a mediation is a case where you have a neutral third-party mediator. They're typically divorce lawyers trained in mediation, but they don't have to be. Sometimes there's mental health professionals and other folks that are trained mediators as well. And they will help you work out the issues in your case in an organized, orderly fashion in a series of meetings. At the conclusion of that, they typically produce what's called a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, which is really just a list of notes about what you've agreed on. They give that to an attorney. The attorney drafts up a settlement agreement, files a divorce case, and you get divorced. So to answer the question directly, and collaborative is sort of a variation on that. In collaborative, we have two attorneys who are both mediation trained, representing the parties, sitting in the room in a series of organized meetings. There is a written agreement between the parties on how this will proceed. One of the key things about collaborative is if either party goes to court, the lawyers are fired.
Oh, wow.
Which keeps everybody tied.
So there's a very incentive to stay out of court.
Strong incentive to stay out of court and stay lashed to the raft of getting the case resolved amicably, right? So there's a real positive incentive to get it done amicably. And that's in mediation. People enter into a mediation agreement, but it's not quite the same. The things that are said typically in the mediation and the collaborative process, they're confidential.
That's nice.
To a large extent. So you don't get the words that you said in these meetings haunt you, don't haunt you later.
Right. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. So that encourages
people. So it's more private, it's speedier, and there's, you know, neutral forces that help kind of bring things to a solution that tries to be as equitable as possible for both people.
Exactly. And even in mediation, we recommend people get attorneys to coach them because mm-hmm. there's so much involved in these cases. You want to know your rights and responsibilities. And a mediator can't give you legal advice. The mediator is not an attorney for either person.
I have a dumb question. I thought in Illinois it was a no-fault state, meaning you split everything down the middle. And so then what's the drama? Is it all about custody, or is there just a lot of fine points that I'm just glossing over?
So, yeah. So even though we're a no-fault state, that just means that the reason for the divorce is irreconcilable differences. So in the old days, you could say that the reason for the divorce was mental cruelty or adultery or
a short
list of reasons, right? And that's gone now in our law. So now it's only irreconcilable differences. But that actually has no bearing on the division of assets or any impact on support or children. That's just the reason for the divorce. So, yes, in Illinois, we are known as an equitable division state in terms of property. Not equal, equitable.
Equitable.
Meaning fair, but everybody's definition of fair might vary. And there are a number of factors in Illinois law that the courts use to determine what is an equitable division of property. It might not be equal, depending on the circumstances.
So short answer, Rayford, is, John, you're way off base. You don't know what you're talking about. Please let your experts do the talking.
Well, I can't call myself an expert due to our ethics code. But
we'll say
we concentrate in divorce. But yes, thank you. You can say it, I guess. But I can't.
I will. Whatever you need me to say, I will say. No, but it's true. And you wrote a book about it. So I'd say that certainly falls in that camp. Okay. So there is a lot to get to. There is a lot of to determine what is equitable. There's a lot of back and forth.
So I'll talk about the variables. So let's hit on the things that can slide back and forth.
We'll tell you what. We're coming up on the news.
Sure.
So why don't we table this? Let's talk after the news about exactly kind of what goes into what equitable means.
Sure.
We'll do that with Rayford. We'll talk about whether January is divorce month. I promise I'll get that answer. All right. It's John Hansen here, and let's get legal powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Another 25 minutes or so. Karen Conti coming up after us. Rayford Palmer joining us right now from STG Law, talking about all sorts of divorce things. And in a moment, we'll talk about how the rich get divorced and what we can learn from that, Rayford.
Yes.
Because I think that's a really great lesson. How the celebrities do it in Hollywood.
Yep.
And why we should apply that lesson. We're going to talk about January Divorce Month. But we were just before the news, we're talking about how I mistakenly believed if you get divorced in Illinois, no fault, okay, split everything down the middle, and the only thing you argue about is kids. And you were very kind in the way you pointed out that that's not quite the case. There's a lot of things that get litigated out.
Right. And so I'll preface it by saying a lot of people can get done in a fairly efficient way, and many cases are quite straightforward. So you are right to say that, and I don't know what the percentage is, but a large percentage of cases would be half and half on assets and a fairly straightforward calculation of child support and probably, you know, most cases are what we used to call joint custody. Now we call it shared parenting responsibility and parenting time. So, but where the variables come in and where the litigation happens is, like you said, kids. So people just straight up disagree on parenting.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other things come in when there's uncertain income or hidden money. Or there's excessive spending and people are looking into that issue. Or, for example, a complex asset that needs to be valued, so a business ownership interest, so where somebody owns a company and they disagree on the value. So and maybe a lot of money's at stake because one person says the business is worth $10 million and another person says it's worth $5 million or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there are situations where people just disagree and therefore the case will be more complex and isn't easy peasy. It's going to be either a fight or at least much more extended negotiation, a lot more work put in to come to a conclusion.
Right. And maybe that leads nicely into the next question of a lot of Hollywood cases, including the recent news of Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet.
Yes.
That they filed the case one day, they were divorced the next day.
Yes.
Why did they do that? How did they do that? And what's the lesson for us?
So we were just talking about this on our podcast, the I Just Want This Done Divorce podcast, and my partner Rahul and Iyer and I talked about it. And Momoa and Lisa Bonet, just kind of well known in the news, Momoa of Aquaman, Lisa Bonet from way back from Cosby
mm-hmm.
show when I was a kid. and both celebrities in their own right. Turns out, two kids, 17-year relationship, but they were married since 2017, and they just announced they got divorced, and they filed the case, like you said, mm-hmm. one day in L.A. court, next day divorced, and people say, well, how is that?
Mm-hmm.
They're negotiating this stuff behind the scenes. Just like we talked about mediation and collaborative, I don't know what process they followed, but they got some good divorce lawyers. And they talked about it for who knows how long, months, maybe a year, maybe more. And they worked it out. They announced they were separated publicly in 2022. So 2 years ago, January 22, they say they're separated. Well, then in their filing, they said separated it since 2020. There's been plenty of time to negotiate a result. So they negotiated a controlled landing. They went to court, filed it, and got divorced in a day. And that's the kind of thing that we can do with collaborative or mediated. Maybe not the next day, but within several days or a week. Or not a lot of time. It's very efficient. So that's why they're doing it. They're keeping it out of the public eye, and they're minimizing their cost. So they know litigation's expensive, and they're protecting their professional reputations. So, and wealthy people do this too. We didn't hear much about the Bezos divorce mm-hmm. details. There wasn't any big public battle in court. The only exception I've seen in the last many months or year has been the Costner divorce right. that was a little more public. Because his now ex-wife was fighting for more in child support, and there was some back and forth. There was a prenup in that case that ended up pretty much winning the day. And I found out that reportedly Momoa and Bonet had a prenup as well, mm-hmm. which helps them have a controlled landing.
But what you're saying is, correct me if I'm wrong, that yes, they are rich people that are celebrities, but even if you are a middle class person who is not a celebrity in any right,
right,
there's a lesson to be learned there, that if they're doing it, they're doing it for a reason.
Yes.
And they get why it's important to settle ahead of time, right?
Exactly.
And that can apply to us too. Even if it isn't on the same scope as a celebrity,
right,
the rest of us are going to be paying way more money than we should if we're going all the way to court. And you're saying things that maybe end up in the public record.
Right.
And your neighbors are going to hear about it. Your friends are going to hear about it. Your family's going to hear about it.
Right. And so the celebs can teach us this lesson that they're keeping things quiet. They're keeping things efficient. They're saving money and grief. And that's the objective we want to reach toward. Now, sometimes you have to have litigation. You have to have court action. There is sometimes no option. But if you have the option, at least giving it a shot is well worth it.
Okay. Rayford Palmer here from SDG Law, talking about all sorts of divorce questions. Had one from, let's do January. Myth or truth that January is divorce month? Is it, I feel like we all talk about it as right. if it's true. Boots on the ground, is it really?
So boots on the ground, it's true that it's divorce filing month in that more cases typically start in January because people wait over the holidays
mm-hmm.
but more people don't get divorced that month, but they typically get started in that month with a lawyer and file a case and that kind of thing. So
like October, November, they're like, the holidays are coming up. I don't want to deal with this. So it's more of a lag from the last 3 months of the previous year.
That's anecdotally, that's what we've seen we've been in business 30 years and we've seen that time and again, that new clients tend to slow down in the last quarter. Folks don't hire us necessarily that quarter in the same velocity
right.
that they do the rest of the year. And then come January, it gets busy again. And mm-hmm. We're busy with existing cases in the fourth quarter because people want to get things done.
Right, before the holidays.
Be wrapped up before year end. But when the new year starts, folks want to get going. And some people could cynically say, well, new year, new me, and these yeah. kinds of things.
New year, not you. That's what it would be.
But it's more like just people, you said it right. People have been, if somebody's making a decision to get divorced, they've typically been thinking about it for a long time.
Years sometimes.
Right. And they finally say, I need to start and I want to get this done. And so that's when you see it. That's why January is kind of called divorce month typically in the, you know, in the press.
Hopefully not like on the first, like as you're kissing Julie for the New Year's Eve, you know,
no.
the thing, the rings in 1201, they got your cell phone number somehow, Rayford, and they're like, all right, new year, new me, let's move this along.
Right.
847 had a question. I have a best friend who's a mom of four, and she's stuck in a marriage that I'm just going to characterize this as very traditional religious marriage. Okay.
Okay.
17 years. She and the children are extremely verbally, emotionally, financially abused, yelling. It's traumatic. It's been going on for years. Are there any resources that this person might be able to give her? They're in Cook County, by the way, that can start this sort of conversation.
Yes. In an abuse situation, I have to recommend going to the folks that are professionals with that. And it's so we used to work with Family Shelter of DuPage, and they're now part of a larger organization. And I will get the name of that after the break if I can.
No, let's
I don't
do
have
that.
It at my fingertips. But
it's time for the break anyways, but go on.
Yeah, so I would contact one of those organizations as a starting point, because the first issue is the abuse. The divorce is going to be the person's choice, obviously, but addressing the abuse is job one. That's sort of the emergency room doctor thing first. You have to stabilize the patient, if you will, before we can do surgery.
Even if it's verbal, emotional, and not physical.
Yeah, because that can be just as devastating to a family.
100%. Okay, tell you what, let's take a break. Why don't you look up the name of that place, and we'll get it to this texter. And then 312-91-7200 for any calls or texts you have, questions about divorce. STGlawfirm.com is where you can reach Rayford. 312-248-6680 is where you can call STG Law Firm. That's 312-248-6680. Rayford Palmer, my guest here for this hour, the author of the best-selling book, I Just Want This Done, and the podcast, the I Just Want This Done podcast. Got a lot going on, and a Facebook group and TikTok and all of those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And we had a question about someone that was in a emotional and fiscal bullying sort of situation.
Right.
Abuse, essentially. And you wanted to give them a resource.
Yeah, I used to actually be on the board for Family Shelter Service of DuPage, and they merged with Metropolitan Family Services, metrofamily.org. Phone number for their hotline, which is 24/7. It's a 630, but they'll pick up the phone for Cook County, 630-469-5650. Outstanding organization, amazing people.
For emotional abuse, physical abuse,
financial.
If you're experiencing that, financial abuse.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is a dumb question, but I imagine it has to be the person that's experiencing it calling. You can't call on someone's behalf and say, send police their way. That's not how that works, right? I mean,
right. And by the way, this is no substitute for if it's a police issue, it's
right,
a police
issue,
right? If it's a safety issue, you have no choice. You've got to take the police can help. But when it's a situation where you need advice and you need guidance about what to do next and you're in an abusive situation, folks at Metropolitan Family, or there are many similar organizations around Chicagoland, provide these services. This is just one that came to mind. All great people who are trying to help, and tapping into those resources, doing a little bit of Google searching, can get you the right help you need to point you in the right direction. Because part of it first in an abusive situation is the person being willing to break free from it. And
right.
We know that's such a challenge.
That's the biggest step sometimes.
Right.
Once the dam is broken, then it might get easier. But yeah, 630-469-5650. What was the name of it again?
Metrofamily.org, Metropolitan Family Services.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. And Michael, you're on WGN. Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
What do you got for us?
Thanks for doing this. Listen, so Illinois is supposed to be a 50-50 split the marital assets state. Is that correct?
We talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
It's ish.
Depends.
Yeah. So,
depends.
You know, I'm wondering because, you know, my wife and I were getting divorced after 19 years of marriage. And we live out in Glen Ellen area. And the house we lived in for a long time belonged to parents who died. And she inherited that house before we got married.
Okay.
And she's sort of throwing the wrench out that she wants to keep. She's calling protected all the money that she put on the down payment when we had to rebuy the, sort of buy out the other, her brother and her sister from the inheritance.
Sure. Cool.
So that house got left there. So anyway, so I'm just wondering, like, is her inheritance that went towards, you know, I guess the down payment of the when we refinanced, is that her money? Cause it was her inherited house. And the money from the inheritance, and then anything only after the time that we got that we started putting in money together on the mortgage is 50-50.
All right, Michael, please stay on hold there. What do you think? That's a complicated one, isn't it?
Yeah. So first thing I have to say, the official, this is not legal advice. Always consult an experienced divorce attorney in your area for legal advice.
Right. Generally speaking.
But generally speaking, this is a kind of a classic non-marital property situation. So what divorce lawyers talk about is the characterization of property. Is it marital, meaning subject to, let's just generically say, the 50-50 split, mm-hmm. right? Or is it non-marital property, exempting it from that division where one person would just keep it? if, generally speaking, inherited property, whether it's inherited before the marriage or during the marriage, is that person's non-marital property, therefore not subject to division. This is then, but we get into complicated situations, and this one is a little more tricky. It sounds like, from what the gentleman said, that the home, the chunk that that his wife owned was non-marital, that she was granted, and then there's another portion where she bought out a relative from their interest and spent some, it sounded like her own money that she also inherited to do that, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And then it sounds like the gentleman and his wife put in some money as well.
Okay.
So there's a, sort of
there's a, layer, a lot going on.
There's a layer cake here we have to sort out. So knowing the detailed facts and having a lawyer break this down is going to be important to know for sure. But let's say this. Generally, what we see in a situation like this is what we call contributions. So there was some marital, let's assume marital money was put into this asset. This gentleman may have a right to be reimbursed for his share of the contribution from the marriage.
Right.
His income, his wife's income, let's say from their jobs, into buying a piece of this property. But she's probably going to have a large chunk of this asset that's non-marital and that she's just going to hold on to.
Meaning that was money that she inherited in her own way.
Yeah.
She put it into the house or into the down, whatever it may be. So she may just end up with a larger chunk of this instead of 50-50 because she came to the table with some of her money versus coming to the table with marital money.
Right. So to make it really simple, let's assume it's a $300,000 house. The first $100,000 was given to her. The chunk was given to her by her parents. The second chunk she bought with her with cash she got from the parents from the family members. So $200,000 of the value is hers. And the third $100,000 they both put $100,000 into. So we'll make the math real simple. He might be able to get $50,000 out of the deal.
She's getting $250,000.
That's, and again,
generally speaking,
rough cut.
Yes.
Right.
I guess what this goes to show is whether it's inheritance, and we appreciate the call, Michael.
Yeah.
If it's inheritance, that gets complicated, and it can get even more complicated if people get an inheritance and they put it in a joint checking account.
Yes.
And they start spending that money.
Right.
That inheritance money, really, you might be wise to keep it separate.
Absolutely right. Keeping it separate is the way to be sure that it remains non-marital. And one of the things you asked me was, well, don't these things just end up 50-50? This is one of those things where the answer is not necessarily, or a lawyer says it depends, which people hate to hear, but that's the truth.
This brings me to a broader question, Rayford. It's more of a philosophical question, an interesting one. I feel like people that have conversations about prenups before they get married are often great communicators about money and expectations.
Sure.
And maybe don't even end up needing the prenup because they're mature enough about that conversation to have it. I feel the same way with inheritance money. The idea is if you're able to stare at your spouse and say, look, let's be realistic about this. I'm going to keep this money in my account. I love you. But I want this in my account in case something happens. It's almost like having that conversation is a good sign.
It really is. And you make a great point that I say oftentimes in podcasts, social media, and everything, which is that the conversation about a prenup, nobody wants to have that conversation, but it's probably the most important conversation to have because it's such a values alignment thing.
Mm-hmm.
And folks don't like to talk about their values and what we all have a social contract in our marriages. And a lot of it is unspoken. And that's where problems arise down the road. And you're right. Having the conversation about the prenup, whether you end up signing it or whatever or not, or changing it is irrelevant. But just laying those things on the line, what is important to you, what is important to me, is hugely critical.
Yeah, there should be like a values alignment worksheet you have to do before you get married that has nothing to do with prenups or money
right.
about divorce anyways. It's like an honest conversation about what you value or not.
Right.
You're right. It remains this unspoken thing.
Right.
The prenup can be a mechanism in which to have that conversation.
Well, so in my first marriage, we got married in a Catholic church. We went through pre-Cana. And, you know, I'm not touting for the Catholic church necessarily, but the pre-Cana was very valuable because there was a big values discussion and actually a written inventory we had to take. I was 21 years old, but we had to take this examination
right.
and see how compatible we were on issues from kids to money to sex and all
everything.
These things. Yeah. And, you know, those values conversations are crucial.
Yeah. It's interesting. And not to harp on the fact that Julie's your second wife.
Yes.
Right. But Julie is also,
I would say my wife.
Sorry. She's your wife.
Right. And my law partner.
You and Julie have both been through this.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying.
Correct.
Independently on your own.
Yep.
I think that does, I don't know. If I were to be going through something like that, there is some value to having a lawyer, I think, that went through the process of divorce. Agree or disagree?
Agree now that I've been through it. Beforehand, I would have said, oh, it's no big deal. I wouldn't know better.
And there's great divorce lawyers who never are divorced.
Are happily married, right. And bless them. And it's just, you have a new level of empathy for your client when you go through it yourself. Recently, I watched Dave Chappelle's recent special, and he said, it's funny until it happens to you.
Right.
And it's like, it's not necessarily funny, but it's a job and a task that you want to accomplish to your best of your ability. Once it happens to you, you get a whole different appreciation for what people are going through, and it changes your perspective.
I would totally see that. Someone just left a comment, but maybe you could add something to it here, Rayford. John, after 3 years and $30,000 through a divorce proceedings, her lawyer literally demanded a change of spousal support outside the courtroom as we were walking in. Was it legal? Yes. Was it unethical? Yes. Was it brilliant? Yes. I caved to get the whole unpleasant process concluded, ultimately concluding that we're moving on and it was far more important than the money. I think that just sums up what drawing things out can do.
And that's also what the book is about. This person, I think wisely, and I'm sorry to hear about that situation, I'm not commenting on
specifics,
the details without knowing it, but sometimes you make that cost benefit analysis, and this person did, and they said, I just want to be done.
Right.
And is it worth haggling over X $100 a month in the long run? No, it isn't worth another X number of months and thousands of dollars in fees to fight over this issue. And it sounds like this person made the right call in the moment to say, is this right? Not really. Is it the right thing for me to be done? And is it acceptable to me?
Yeah.
And that's one thing we talk about. It's the difference between fair and acceptable. Fair is a loaded word. Your fair is different than my
right.
fair. Well, is it acceptable? Are we within the range of reasonable
right.
outcomes?
Right.
And if we are, then we're good. Let's get done.
That's how I feel about politics, too, by the way.
Interesting.
I just feel like that we are so dug into our teams.
Like polarized.
Yeah, and it's like, let's just meet in the middle somewhere. And I'm not happy about X, Y, or Z.
Right.
You're not happy about X, Y, or Z. Well, guess what? We're in the range of possibilities, and let's just go with it.
Can we find an acceptable outcome?
Can we find
right?
an acceptable outcome? I feel right. like that's the way we've done it for so long. I wish we could just do that again.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that's a whole other discussion, though. And this is also not to minimize that there are legitimate reasons why people end up needing to go to court with kids and other
yep.
things like that. And that's all a complicated thing as well.
Sure.
Okay, we've got about 45 seconds left, Rayford. What's your elevator to pitch to people? Why should they be reaching out to you, Julie, and the team?
So at STG Divorce Law, we're a team with you. We care about the clients, not that other lawyers don't, but our goal is to get your matter done as efficiently as possible. We have a great team of folks who care a lot about the clients. This is our livelihood. All we do is divorce and family law. We've been doing it for 30 years, and we want to get people through their divorce as efficiently as possible and to have kind of a more holistic approach. What's good
right.
for your family? Not just, can we squeeze every buck out of this and go to war?
For sure.
And that's just not...
Doesn't have to be that way.
No, and I don't think it's in everybody's best interest in the long run.
Right.
It's like you feel good in the short term, in the long term, it doesn't feel good in
right.
the long run.
Rayford Palmer, stglawfirm.com.